So Luke 4, page 835. Beautifully done for us. We need to know the context to understand all that was happening when Jesus stood up and read this profound passage. So Jesus has been going through the villages and towns, page 835, Luke 4. He's been going through the places and he's been getting a reputation. And Nazareth is his hometown. And they are excited to welcome him back. They think. 4 verse 16. He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll, as we saw, the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" He said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Doctor, cure yourself.' And you'll say, 'Do here also in your hometown the things that we have heard you did at Capernaum.'" And he said, "Truly, I tell you, no prophet is accepted in the prophet's hometown. But the truth is, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a severe famine over all the land. Yet Elijah was sent to none of them except to a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. There were also many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed except for Naaman the Syrian." When they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with rage. They got up, drove Jesus out of the town, and led him up to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so that they might hurl him off the cliff. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The word of the Lord. So imagine, if you will, it's just a couple of days before chaos night. And you have been given the job of putting together a tug-of-war team for your dorm. But your dorm has never won the tug-of-war. You haven't even won like one round of it. So everybody's saying no, and you're getting really discouraged, and you think this is just a fool's errand. Until you see him. New first-year student, 6'5", 250, lifts weights for fun. His friends call him Hulk. And yes, he says, he'll be happy to anchor your team. And suddenly, the whole idea of Chaos Night looks a lot more fun to you. You're imagining what's going to happen. It's going to be great. And sure enough, Chaos Night comes, you're all rolling in, everybody's got the matching t-shirts, the first tug-of-war happens, boom, it's over in seconds. Your team wins! Yes! Second tug of war, one more time, takes a little bit longer, but boom! The Hulk is there! Yes! You win again! And now, because your dorm has done well in all the other silly games that we do on Chaos Night, you have a feeling, you just know it in your bones, that if you win this tug of war, you can take the prize, and you're imagining the bedlam that will ensue when your dorm finally wins. You can imagine the cup being placed in the hands of your RD. You can see it all happening before your eyes. The teams line up for the tug of war. Hulk walks up to you and he says, "I'm gonna pull for the other team." It's crazy! And that little gasp you felt, that little like, what? That's how the people felt in Nazareth. That's how they felt when Jesus gets up, because he was their star. He was their boy. He was their hero. He was coming back to Nazareth, and he was going to put Nazareth on the map. Little Nazareth was finally going to be known. And not only that, but if he could do all this stuff that everybody said that he could do, it could be that little Nazareth could lead the nation of Israel, and they could get their land back, and they could drive Rome out. All of these things were possible. That's the vibe when he walks into the synagogue. That's what they're thinking, and he unrolls the scroll, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Sight to the blind, hear the Lord's favor." And then he says, "The scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And they all go, "Yes, we knew it, yes! Messiah is here, he's ours, he's on our team, we are totally gonna crush this thing, yes! Joseph's son, told ya, rocked it, yes!" But Jesus keeps talking. He says, "I know you're gonna want me to do the stuff that I did in other places, but no prophet is welcome in his hometown. You know Elijah? He was actually sent to the widow in Sidon. Elisha, he actually healed a general who was from Syria." And they get so angry, because in that moment, he's taken off his Nazareth University shirt and he's putting on "I Love Rome." "What? You're on our team, Jesus. This is how this is supposed to work." And they are so angry at him, because Sidon and Syria, these are their enemies. These are the people who've oppressed them. These are the people who made them poor. They are so angry at Jesus because they want their Messiah to have the same enemies that they do. And if we're honest, we do too. We want Jesus on our team. We want Jesus to wear our colors. We want Jesus to vote the way we do and read the things we do and like the things we like. The author Anne Lamott says, "You know you've made God in your own image when he hates all the same people you do." And maybe you're thinking, "Well, I don't have any enemies. That's really not my vibe. That's not how I roll." Well, let's do a couple of thought exercises. Picture someone, maybe you know them personally, maybe there's someone from the public arena, that you would have a very hard time watching walk into the loving embrace of Jesus. Anybody come to mind that you think, "I don't really want to see that"? Or think about this. Imagine you see Jesus, he's in the distance, he's talking and he's laughing with some people, and you're very excited because you're gonna go talk to Jesus. Like, Jesus, in front, it's gonna be great. You're heading over, you're looking, and then you realize he's talking to him. He's talking to her, he's talking to them. In that moment, do you keep walking? If Jesus is talking and laughing with someone who hurt you, who's making life difficult for people you love, or in that moment, do you say, "He can't be the Messiah because he hangs out with all the wrong people"? Jesus got that a lot, you know. It starts here in Luke 4, and it goes on through every gospel. He's always accused of hanging out with all the wrong people. And he gets in trouble all the time for hanging out with the wrong people. Well, guess what? For Jesus, everybody was the wrong people. Everybody was sinful. Everybody was broken. Everybody was bruised. There was only one that was perfect, and it was him. Everybody else was the wrong people. For Jesus, there weren't sides to choose, there were people to save. That's how he viewed the world. And so right here at the beginning of his ministry, right here in his hometown, he dares to tell the people who know him best, "This is not about you." He dares to tell them that the kingdom of God is larger than they could ever imagine. That it's not just about the rescue of the Jews, but it's about the redemption of the world. That the kingdom of God is about justice, and the kingdom of God is about peace, and the kingdom of God is about reconciliation. And the kingdom of God is full of all the wrong people. The kingdom of God is full of all the wrong people. People like me. People like you. You see, when you read this text, we're actually the people from Sidon. We are the people from Syria. We are Gentiles. We're the people that Jesus' friends did not want him to go to. That's us. We're the wrong people. And if Jesus was willing to say, I will lay down my reputation in my hometown because there are people that I love that I need to welcome into the kingdom, if he was willing to extend that grace to us, how then can we not extend it to the others that he loves? Advent is a penitential season. It's a season of repentance. That's why the colors are blue and purple, like Lent. And like Lent, it invites us to reflect on our sin, because in reflecting on our sin, we realize one more time that we need a Savior. And so maybe this Advent, maybe for the next 4 weeks, our Jesus is inviting us to take one step toward the new kingdom. Maybe he's inviting you to imagine that person, the one who hurt you, the ones who hurt you, the person who cheated, the person who betrayed. Maybe this Advent, Jesus is inviting you to imagine that person in his arms. And maybe release that person into his arms. You know, the best line in this whole story is the last one. So the crowd is all like mad, and they're all in a flurry, and they drag him to the top of the hill, and they get ready to throw him off the cliff, and then it says, but he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. Like, Messiah out. Boom. So here's the question. Did anybody follow? Did anybody watch him walk away from the crowd and say, I'm going that way. I'm following him. Was anyone willing to take the risk of loving their enemies that much? Are you? Am I? The passage read so beautifully from Isaiah 61, the passage says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon the Messiah to bring good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, to tell the oppressed they can go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And those things are all literal, but they're also metaphorical. They're also spiritual. Because if you are trapped by hatred, if you are trapped by anger, if you hold on to old grudges and do not let them go, you are the one who is in prison. And the Messiah has come to set us free from that. He has come to be the one who brings justice. We don't always have to do it. He has come to be the one who brings grace to us so that we can extend it to others. He has come to set us free. We sing a lot in this Advent season about the King of Kings, and the King's going to come back, and come, King, come. We need to remember that the kingdom of God is full of all the wrong people. And are we ready to walk into the kingdom with people that we didn't like? Are we really prepared for the return of the King? This Advent, our Jesus invites us to step away from the crowd and follow him.